Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I guess it's been decades since the first conversation about video games and their connection to violence, or the allegations that video games desensitize people and contribute to violence. Christopher Ferguson is a professor at Stetson University. He's the author of Suicide Kings, and he joins us to talk about this morning. So, Christopher, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me on.
What do the studies show here?
Yeah, so if we're looking particularly at outcomes related to violence, and we're talking about like violent crime, assaults, bullying, stuff like that, the evidence at this point is pretty clear that there is no risk factor relationship, no predictive relationship for video game playing, predicting any kind of serious aggression in society that people care about. I mean, there's a little bit of debate if we look at like minor acts of aggression, where we're talking about like literally prank level stuff, like putting hot sauce in someone's sandwich if they don't like
okay.
spicy food. Yeah,
that's I'm willing to tolerate in a society, but
yeah.
You're a little bit of a disadvantage with me just because my former career was public relations. So you give me $100,000, I can get you a study that will show you what I want it to show. I hate to be that crass about it. But has this been studied to the point where we say, all right, the average person who's mentally sound, who's in a good home and, you know, sees a future ahead of them, they can play these video games even as they get more and more graphic and more realistic in the way they portray the violence? They can probably participate in this and walk away grounded enough not to freak out and kill somebody. But have we narrowed it down to find that grain of sand, that one person who is unstable? Is this the kind of thing that could push them over the edge, that one in a million person?
So we have a few studies that look at that. What we do is we do a lot of studies where we track kids over time and look to see like what kinds of risk factors may predict assaults or bullying or, you know, crime related outcomes. And in some of those studies, we actually do kind of boil it down to looking at, well, let's look at the kids who already have mental health issues. Let's look at the kids who already have issues with depression or antisocial personality disorder or the two in combination, and see, you know, for those kids, is there a predictive relationship between video games, you know, violent video games and youth violence or some kind of outcome? And even with those kids, we don't find any predictive relationship. So there doesn't seem to be any kind of, you know, sort of at-risk group that we can identify. There was another study that was done at University of Missouri that looked at young adults that had autism spectrum disorders. I think that was motivated by the Sandy Hook shooting in 2012. And there again, there didn't seem to be any evidence that, you know, either kids or young adults who have pre-existing mental health concerns are any more impacted by playing violent video games, which is to say, not at all.
Is there such a thing as desensitization?
Sure. I mean, desensitization, it basically occurs anytime you experience less of an emotional reaction to something over time. I mean, the funny thing about desensitization is it's not necessarily bad. We kind of think about like first responders. You know, if you are in a accident or your health goes for some reason and you want people to come to your house and, you know, give you first aid and take you to the hospital, you don't want them to emotionally freak out, you know, when they see your injury. You want them to be pretty cool. I mean, so to some extent, being desensitized is a fairly normal process that happens with repeated exposure to anything, really. You just get less of a kick from it. So it's not necessarily bad. What we're kind of asking with desensitization is not so much do you get less of an emotional response to something over time, But does that translate into something bad in the real world that we care about? So if you're desensitized to violence, does that make you less concerned about victims of violence or things like that? And so what we tend to find with media violence in general, not just video games, is that watching media violence desensitizes you to media violence. You know, so you tend to, if you like a lot of horror movies, you need more and more graphic or more and more scary horror movies to get the same kind of adrenaline jolt from them. But it doesn't seem to transfer well to real life. You know, so we've done studies where we kind of look at this and examine the people who, you know, watch different TV shows or play different video games. And then, you know, it sounds kind of horrible in a way, but then we expose them to actual videos of people getting injured or killed. And it doesn't seem to impact their emotional response to watching real scenes of injuries or real scenes of deaths. So for whatever reason, you know, this transfer of desensitization doesn't seem to happen from fictional media to real life.
In the studies that you have conducted and read, is there any one thing that constantly pops up in the interviews with violent offenders, whether they're 16 years old or whether they're 56 years old? Is it the antidepressant drugs that so many people are blaming it on? Is it abandonment by family? I mean, is there some common trend like, aha, in 50 interviews, we saw this in 40 of them, so we think there might be a connection here?
It depends on like which group of criminals you're talking about. If you're talking about like general crime, you tend to find that to be more common among individuals who come from more difficult backgrounds. You know, people that come from lower incomes and families that have violence in the family, and so on and so forth. So people tend to come from, you know, difficult environments, tend to be difficult people, you know, when they become youth or adults. With mass shooters, it's a little bit different, or mass homicide perpetrators, it's a little bit different, in that you tend to find a pattern of usually chronic mental illness with those individuals, but that could be either suicidal depression or psychosis. They usually have a long history of antisocial personality traits, so they tend to be very angry and aggressive individuals. And they tend to be what we call injustice collectors. So that basically means that they blame other people for their problems. So that kind of combination of those three things together is almost a universal commonality between mass homicide perpetrators. Now, granted, there probably are like 500,000 people in the U.S. that also fit that profile. So, you know, we have to be a little bit careful about assuming that everybody that fits that kind of description
is going to
go out
slaughtering
a criminal.
Yeah.
So, but that is the commonality that we see with these mass homicide perpetrators.
Well, I appreciate the conversation. It still asks me to suspend my instinct, but I do always want to look at the data, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing that with us. Christopher Ferguson, professor at Stetson University and the author of Suicide Kings, if you want to read more about Christopher's work. Thanks. I appreciate it.
It was great being on. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.